We do have fun. And that's good. Biblical Christianity should be fun. You know, sure, we all have trials and tribulations, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Hymn 13, folks. We're going to stand for our final hymn this morning. So glad to see you here in church with us today. What a blessing it is to come together as His people. We're going to sing all four. Praise the Lord. Hymn 13. Just love the words of this famous hymn of the faith. Because Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Amen. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Amen. Chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Yes. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. Amen. Join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Yes, Lord. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord. Woo! Glory to God. Please be seated, beloved. Couldn't quite get up there on that last high note, but... Oh, boy, what a blessing. In heaven, we'll be able to hit them all. Amen? Amen. Yeah. We'll have glorified voices. Think of it. Wow. My wife says, thank God for that. Oh, boy. Grab your Bibles this morning, beloved. Open up to the book of Romans, chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And speaking of crowning him Lord of all, I was preparing this morning's message this week, and I'm a little bit excited this morning because I'm going to be preaching a message I've entitled The Sovereignty of God. Amen? The Sovereignty of God. I'm so glad that He's sovereign. He's the King. Amen. He's in control and he's in charge. Glory to God. Now, in Romans chapter 11, remain seated this morning. In Romans chapter 11, Paul has been preaching and explaining the great doctrine of soteriology, that's salvation, throughout the first 10 chapters. Amen. In fact, in chapter 1, Paul shows that the whole world, all Gentiles, are guilty before God. In chapter 2, Paul shows that all Jews are guilty before God. In chapter 3, Paul shows that the whole world, need their mouths stopped, and they're guilty before God. And he reveals the atoning propitiation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the answer to the guilt. Amen. In chapter 4, he shows justification by faith through the faithful Abraham. In chapter 5, he shows the first man, Adam, sinned, and the whole race, sin passed upon all men. In chapter 6, he shows us how to live the Christian life through the doctrine of identification. In chapter 7, he shows us the battle that we face with the flesh every day. In chapter 8, he shows us the victory through the Holy Spirit of God. In chapter 9, he shows us that God is not through with the elect nation, Israel. In chapter 10, he shows the Gentiles have been grafted in, and one day Israel will be regrafted. In chapter 11, he goes down through here, and he comes to verse number 33, and he issues an incredible oh. Paul is absolutely overwhelmed with the glory of the divine revelations that he's been given by the Spirit of God. Look with me in Romans chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse 33. Paul can no longer contain himself. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And beloved, I want to use as my text verse 36, where Paul exclaims, "For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the sovereignty of God. How we thank you this morning, Lord, for these incredible verses, which I've desired to preach for a while now. And I thank you that today's the day. Lord, I thank you that your train is running on schedule. Your son, Jesus Christ, is coming back to judge this world. And I thank you that he will set up his kingdom in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Lord, I thank you for the church, the body and bride of Christ, of which we are a part. I thank you that we have been redeemed by his blood. We have his spirit and word to guide us and direct us. And Lord, it teaches us that he is sovereign, that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords, that one day every knee will bow before this great Savior whom we serve and confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we're excited this morning because we know you're coming for us and coming quickly. Soon and very soon, the song says, we're going to see the King in all his beauty, in all his glory. We want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servants." And oh God, we thank you for the grace and the Spirit of Christ, which enables us divinely to live this Christian life and to understand these divine truths, that you are sovereign over all the universe. Bless your word to us this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, this morning here in the closing verses of chapter 11, the Apostle Paul encapsulates all of the doctrines and divine revelations of the entire book of Romans into one incredible statement concerning the universal, eternal sovereignty of God. Look at it. Verse 36, Paul proclaims, "For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Paul says that all of the questions, all of the difficulties of the book can be answered by this one little verse of Scripture, that God is a sovereign, ruling, eternally self-existent king over all the universe. This is one thing you've got to know. Folks, I'm here to tell you today that the world does not know this, but it's true. Amen? It doesn't negate it for a second. Now listen, a sovereign is one who is supreme in power over all others. One who is supremely superior to all others. One who is supremely efficacious to all others. Meaning that he is effectually able to do what none else can do. That's what sovereignty means. And he is absolutely sovereign. Amen? He is absolutely above all others. He is absolutely able to do what none else can do. He is absolutely supreme to every being in eternity. He's sovereign. I want to give you three incredible things concerning his sovereignty this morning, and I'll be done. First, I want you to notice that he is the sovereign originator of all things. Look with me in verse 36. We're using verse 36 as my text. He is the sovereign originator of all things. Paul writes, for of him are all things. He says, of him, from him are all things. Beloved, I want us to stop here for a moment and realize something. Do you realize that everything in the universe that ever was, that is, or that ever will be, came from God? He is the sovereign originator of all things. All things in heaven, all things in earth are of him by way of creation. This means that God is the spring and fountain of all things that do exist. Everything we can see, everything we can touch came from God. I'll go one step further. Everything we cannot see, everything we cannot touch concerning the spirit realm came from God. He is the originator of all, seen and unseen. God is the sovereign originator of everything that's ever been. He, listen, if you or I could go back in time before Genesis 1:1, you know what we'd find? We'd find God. Amen? There was no heaven and no earth before Genesis 1:1. But God was there. And God originated everything in creation. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Hold your place in Romans. We're coming back. Colossians chapter 1, we have an amazing verse concerning his originating all things. In Colossians chapter 1, look with me here at verse number 16. Speaking of Jesus Christ, 15, who is the image of the invisible God. That's who he is, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, by who?
God.
Jesus Christ, the Son of God, were all things created. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Did you notice in verse 16 that all things, you know, when God says all, he means all. Amen. He means all. All things were created by him. All things came from him. Why? Because all things have their origination in God. He is the sovereign creator of all. John, go to John's Gospel, chapter 1. We have an incredible passage concerning the sovereignty of God's originating all things that do exist. In John chapter 1, look with me at verse 1. In the beginning. Now let me ask you a question, church. Whose beginning was that? Was that God's beginning? No! Your beginning and my beginning, right? Our beginning. He says, in the beginning was the Word. Notice the capital W there? That's a person. That's a divine person. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Whoever this person was, he was God. And the same was in the beginning, that's our beginning, with God. Oh, what's the next word? All things were made by him, and without him, the Word, was not anything made that was made. He says everything originated in him and from him. Glory to God. Now, let's take it one step further, church. If all things are from God as their originator, then we may safely deduce that the biblical plan of salvation was no less than a divine blueprint sketched out by God himself. Only God could devise such a plan so perfect that he might be just in forgiving the sinner and man might be eternally saved in believing. God created that plan of salvation. No man could have ever concocted it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I'm so glad that he is the originator of the plan of salvation. Because that's where I get in on it. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Don't miss this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look with me here at verse number 12. He writes in verse 12, "For as the woman is of the man." Now, time out, church. Time out, what's that mean? What does it mean that the woman was of the man? Wouldn't that indicate that God took the woman out of the man's body? Yeah, he took a rib and made a woman. Amen? God can do that. So, as the woman is of the man, now don't miss this. She was part of the man, and God took her out and made her, right? Even so is the man also by the woman, by procuration, procreation, birth, natural birth. But look at this. But what's the next word? All things are what? Of God. All things, says, yeah, when God made man, male and female made he them, he originated our race. He says, but all things are of God. I'm so glad that I can know that everything came from my God. It was God in his sovereignty that brought salvation to mankind. Why is there a gospel for me to preach? Because God originated this plan of salvation for the world in the councils of eternity past. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. If you're still in Corinthians, look at chapter 8. And don't miss this. Look at verse 5. Paul writes by the Holy Ghost, "For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us, church, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him." Look at it. He says, all things are of him and by him. Listen, from the Saturday Evening Post, and I quote, the writer says, "The stars in our sky and their orbits and velocities through the heavens do faithfully obey a great code of law. Earth's scientists can quote and explain this code in great detail. Until you ask them from whence came these laws, then they are silent." Oh, they can tell you that the earth is hurling through space at 67,000 miles an hour orbiting the sun. And they can tell you the earth is circling its own axis at 1,000 miles per hour. And they can tell you that the stars and the moon and everything is encircling and engulfing on an orbit. But they can't tell you why. I can tell you why. Because God created them that way. Amen? They are obeying their maker's commandment to spin and to travel, glory to God. Point number one this morning. He is the sovereign originator of all things. Why? For of him are all things. But something else back in our text. Look with me in Romans chapter 11 again at verse 36. I want you to see, secondly this morning, not only is he the sovereign originator of all things, but he is the sovereign sustainer of all things. Amen? Look at verse 36. He says, "For of him and through him are all things." Through him, all things do consist. Through him, all things continue to exist. Through him, all things are in their current state of being. Do you understand what the Holy Spirit is saying here concerning the all things that he created? He's saying that through him, they continue their existence. Why? He sustains them in their current state. Listen carefully, brethren. Not only were all things originated from God, but to this present hour, all things continue to be sustained through him. I want us to get a hold of this truth this morning. It is through him that all things continue to exist. It is through him that all things continue to subsist. It is through him that all things continue to consist. Glory to God. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1 again. Hold your place in Romans again. Colossians chapter 1. We have an amazing verse concerning the sustenance of the Lord's hand upon all things. Don't miss this. Colossians chapter 1. Look with me at verse 16 again. We read, "For by him were all things created." There's the origination. "That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. And whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And verse 17 says, he is before all things, and what's that next word? By him, all things consist. All things consist, continue to exist by him, beloved. Now, do you know what all things are made up of? They're made up of little things called molecules. Molecules. Molecules are made up of the smallest substance known to mankind called atoms. Atoms. Now, atoms, if I remember, I took physics in 1976. I was a senior in high school, and I took physics. And if I remember my physics teacher correctly, he said that atoms are made up of two things, protons and electrons, right? You got protons, they have a positive charge. But electrons have a negative charge. Positive, negative. All atoms are made up of protons and electrons. So scientists will tell you there's something they cannot understand. Atoms, which are made up of protons and electrons, by laws of physics, should blow apart from each other. Because, as you know, a positive charge rejects a negative charge. They're opposite. You know, when you cross your cables on your battery, when you're trying to jumpstart your car, it's not very pleasant, is it? That's a positive charge coming in contact with a negative charge. It's not pretty. But scientists have discovered how to separate the atom, the positive from the proton from the electron. You know what it's called? It's called an atomic bomb. Kaboom! You know what? Everything right now should explode like an atomic bomb. But it doesn't. Why? Look at verse 17. It says, and he, Jesus Christ, is before all things, and by him, Jesus Christ, all things consist. Do you know what that Greek word means in verse 17, consist? It means literally held together. Did you hear it? Held together. You are being held together in your present physical body by the hand of Jesus Christ. Oh, I want somebody to get this morning. Because not only is he the sovereign originator of all things, he is the sovereign sustainer of all things. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 1. Hold your place in Romans again and go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Don't miss this. Hebrews chapter 1. Look with me at verse 1. God. There's the answer to all your problems. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. There's origination. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding, how many things? All things by the what? Word of his power. Notice in verse 3, Jesus Christ is currently up. You know what people don't understand, why they don't fear God and love Jesus Christ? Because they don't understand this verse. All things, look at it, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he commands, it is done. You can bank on it. Glory to God. Why? Because he is the sovereign sustainer of all things. It means he literally upholds everything that exists in its current state of existence by a direct exertion of his eternal power upon their being. Let me repeat that. Listen, it means he literally upholds all things in their current state of existence by a direct exertion of his eternal power upon their being. Glory to God, beloved. It means Jesus Christ's hand is on you, holding you up in your existence. When he takes his hand off, guess what? You dissolve. They put you 6 feet under, right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, don't turn there. It says, we who are kept by the power of God through faith. You are kept by the hand of the power of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4. flip back from Hebrews, back before Thessalonians, before Colossians to Philippians chapter 4. Don't miss this. Verse 11. Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do some things." Wrong version. Need a King James Bible. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Glory to God. Listen, folks, I'm here to tell you that nothing is impossible with our Savior. He can do all things, and he does it well. Amen? I am so glad Donald Gray Barnhouse, a famous preacher, said, no two blades of grass on earth are the same. No two grains of sand are equal. The invention of the microscope enabled us to scientifically confirm this fact. God never repeats himself in his ongoing creation and preservation of all things. No two twins in actuality are identical. A professional photographer recently photographed over 17,000 snowflakes, finding each one to be of unique design. He couldn't find two the same. Why? Because God is the sustainer and originator of all things. Listen carefully. He found each one to be of unique design, yet they were all mathematically and symmetrically perfect. Only God could do that, beloved. Oh, he's such a great God. Why is it? It's because he is the sovereign sustainer of all things. But one last thing I want you to see this morning concerning the sovereignty of God. We've seen that he is the sovereign originator of everything that exists. We've seen that he is the sovereign sustainer of all things that do exist. But finally, notice that he is the sovereign end of all things. He is the sovereign end, ultimate end of all things. Look at me at verse 36 again. Romans 11, verse 36 says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." He says, to him all things that he created and sustained will give account. Why? Because he's the sovereign end of all things. If people could get a hold of this truth, I tell you, this church would be standing room only. We'd have to turn people away if they could come to the understanding that they will give account one day to him who gave them life. He is the ultimate sovereign end of everything that exists. Now, here's the most important part of all, beloved. That is that all things that God created and all things that God is currently sustaining were designed for the ultimate purpose of promoting his honor and glory and majesty throughout eternity. Did you hear what I said? The reason he made it all was for his own eternal glory. Listen carefully. The universe, the sun, the stars, the planets, the angels, the creatures, and man were brought into being for one divine purpose, that all would forever redound to the exceeding greatness, goodness, and grandeur of his glorious character and attributes. You were made for his glory. You were given life that you would be an eternal trophy of his grace. Oh, beloved, grab hold of this truth. Go with me to Revelation. Hold your place in Romans. We're coming back. Revelation chapter 4. Don't miss this. Why did he make all things? Here's the reason why. Oh, you're going to love this. In Revelation chapter 4, notice it. Who made everything? The Son of God, it says. In Revelation chapter 4, look with me at verse 9. "And when those beasts," these are angelic beasts in heaven, amen, seraphim, cherubim, "they give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. John, by the Holy Ghost, says here that in heaven they proclaim that he made everything that exists for his own pleasure. Beloved, oh, you've got to get this morning. You were made for his pleasure. You were made to bring him glory. You were made to please him. You were made to put a smile on his face. Oh, you were made to be a sweet savor in his nostrils. You were made to be a beautiful sight in his eyes, a vision. You were made to be a sweet sound in his ears of worship. You were made for him. Oh, beloved, I am so glad that this sovereign one made us for his very own. He is to receive all honor, all glory, all power in heaven and earth. Do you know what this means in Revelation, in Romans chapter 11? Go back to our text. Don't miss this. Romans 11, verse 36 says, For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. It means simply this, that one day every knee will bow to him who is the sovereign one of eternity. A few years back, my wife and I got this new car, and it was a lemon. The transmission went on it. Of course, it was under warranty, so we brought it back to the dealer. They put a new transmission to it, and that transmission went. We went back the third time, and they gave us a new car. Why? Because that vehicle wasn't fulfilling the purpose of its design. It was a lemon. It was rejected because it was no good. It was useless. Beloved, listen to me. You've got to fulfill the ultimate design of your being, and that is to bring him eternal honor and pleasure. You've got to be what he made you to be. This is a serious message this morning. We're not playing church. Amen? We're not preaching the Copeland health, wealth, and prosperity gospel here. We're preaching the sovereignty of God who is coming back one day soon. Oh, beloved, he is sovereign. He is the sovereign originator of all things. He is the sovereign sustainer of all things. And he is the sovereign end of all things that do exist. Glory to God. In closing, let me give you this and I'll be done. From the Maritime Baptist Journal, and I quote, There is an old Jewish legend which says that after God had created the world, he called the holy angels to him and asked them what they thought of it. One of the angels said, O Lord, one thing is lacking, the sound of praise to our Creator. So God created music, and it was heard in the whisper of the wind and in the song of the birds. And to man also was given the gift of song. And so it's been all down through the ages that through the worship and praise and adoration of music, the sovereignty of the Creator is revealed and manifest. Amen? Why do we sing? Why do we worship and praise his holy name? Because he originated music for his own glory. Beloved, this is the true purpose and end of all things, to glorify their maker. My message this morning is the sovereignty of God. Why? Verse 36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray, Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the sovereignty of the King. How we thank you, Lord, that he is seated high and lifted up, his train to fill the temple. How we thank you for the seraphim and cherubim that fall before him and cry, Holy, 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 Lord God of his hosts. We thank you, Lord, that you are the King, the sovereign one of eternity. We thank you, Lord, there's never been anyone above you. There will never be anyone to compare to you. You are eternally sovereign. You are eternally glorious. And you are eternally in control of all things that do exist. We love you this morning and we thank you, Father, that you have revealed to us this truth, that you are the sovereign God of all. Lord, our hearts break this morning for the not millions, but billions of human beings on planet Earth this morning that do not know this truth. They do not understand. Jesus, you said on the cross, they know not what they do. And oh, how true it is today. As they're worshiping the World Cup soccer and the rock and roll stars and the Hollywood filth. And Lord Jesus, all the time, they're not fulfilling the purpose of their creation. Oh, Lord, our hearts break for the lost of this world. And we pray, Lord, that we might bring a great harvest of souls to heaven with us. We pray that in these last days you'd use KJV Bible Baptist Church to preach the gospel far and wide. We pray that saints would be edified, souls would be saved, but above all, that Jesus Christ would be exalted and glorified through our mission. Oh, thank you this morning, Lord, for reaching down your divine hand of blessing upon this church and choosing to use us for your honor and glory. And thank you for revealing your sovereignty to us, that we know whom we have believed, and we are persuaded that he is able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. Lord, we love you, and we pray that you would continue blessing and using us for the honor and glory of the sovereign King of eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you ahead of time for all you're going to do through us in these last days of this dispensation. And as we see the night coming when no man may work, Lord, we know that this age of grace is coming to a close. Soon, very soon, the trumpet will blow. The church will be raptured out. The tribulation period will begin. The Antichrist will come on the scene. And all hell will break loose on planet Earth. Lord, I thank you that no human being has to endure that suffering. If they only turn now to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and redeemed and born again by his Spirit and blood. Father, we thank you that you've made it so easy to escape the damnation that is to come. Through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. We thank you, Father God, for the sovereign origination of the plan of salvation for Adam's race, that all people of all tribes, of all generations may be saved if they only will. Oh, Lord, we love you and we thank you for the message this morning. Burn it into our hearts, Holy Spirit, that we may carry about the truth of the sovereignty of God wherever we go, and we may share it with those who need to know in these last days. We thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals this morning and stand for a time of invitation. And let's open up our hymnals this morning to hymn 161. Oh, I'm so glad. make that, I'm sorry, 126. Hymn 126, and we're going to sing the first, the second, and the last. 126. I'm so glad that there is a fountain. The Sovereign One has provided it for all mankind. Glory to God. Hymn 126, praise the Lord. And let's stand and sing to the Lord concerning that blessed fountain.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners' blood
Found. Glory to God. So good to see you this morning, church. Don't forget tonight, folks, it's going to get good in here tonight. We're going to be looking at Millennial Jerusalem. And I'll have a special speech. I'm going to read BB's speech to you tonight that he issued to Hamas last night. They've got 24 hours to cease fire. And if they don't, they're going to pay the price big time. Praise the Lord. The tanks are ready to roll. Brother Carlos Smith is in prayer. And don't forget tonight at 6.
To hear your word, to have your word before us each and every day, Lord, that we need only to delve into it. Thank you, Lord, for the preacher you've given us to bring that word forth and put life before us here in our Sunday service and our Wednesday services, Lord, helping us to get through it and divine it correctly, Lord, and understand exactly what the message is you have for us. We just praise you, Lord, for constantly being there to guide our footsteps, us walking where you'd have us to walk. Help us, Lord, not to falter and stray from that path. We ask you now, Lord, to walk with and guide us. Keep us safe, Lord, healthy, and walking with you. We just pray you bring us back.
Amen. Praise the Lord.